missionary to the Faith at Home movement. He has literally spoken all over the world about faith at home, most recently in Singapore and other places like New Zealand and Canada and just all over the United States for sure. And he has a passion, you'll find out pretty quickly, for faith at home. And so he's here to share with us a special message, as well as some things about our congregation that's very unique among the churches that they're going to continue to survey. This will be an ongoing relationship with the Faith at Home ministry that he provides. We're going to be continuing to discuss ways that we can better serve our families here at Hillcrest. And so they're going to be very beneficial in helping us do that. So, Mark, come on up here. Let me pray over you real quick, and then we'll get you started. Father, we're thankful for the many ways you bless us in life. And Father, we're thankful for Mark and for the ministry that he has, the ministry that he shares all over the world. And we pray for us as a church that we can do everything we can to build faith formation in our homes. And we just thank you for your word that helps us do that. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Mark Holman.
Good morning, Hillcrest. And can we thank Jack for that message this morning and give a little on legacy and so forth. This is it's a great chance for me to be back with you and to be sharing some things. But let me give you a little backdrop on this. Faith at Home is not a family ministry program. Faith at Home is really something that we believe needs to be a heartbeat of how we are doing church. And yet a lot of people today in American Christianity, when it comes to their expression of faith, a lot of people go to church. But the question is, are they living 24/7 for Christ? Are we just being one-hour consumers of church, or are we really living in love with God? And Deuteronomy 6 is very clear that it says that the home is called to be the primary place where faith is being lived and nurtured. And yet, if you were to ask most Christians today, where do you go to connect with God, what would most people say? Church. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying that church is where you go to connect with God. I'm glad you connect with God at church. But imagine if that answer was home. Here's the difference. If you say that you're connecting with God at church, how many times are you connecting with God a week? Maybe once or twice. But if you are connecting with God at home, whether that's your dorm room, whether that's your apartment, whatever that may look like for you, that means you are living in relationship with God 24/7. And I don't think we are called to be one-hour Christians. How many say amen to that? Oh, I think we can try that a little better. Come on, Hillcrest. How many say amen to that? Amen. Or do you just want to be one-hour Christians? We want to be people that are living in love with God. And yet, so what we try to do is we work with churches and say, because the danger when you're in the church is the church can get very busy doing church. We can get very focused on our buildings. We can get focused on our programs. We can get focused on our staffing. And so that we're not really paying attention to what's happening in home. So it's one thing to say we believe that the home needs to be the primary place where faith is being lived and nurtured, that you as college students need to be living it in your dorm rooms, that you as single people need to be living it where you're, and we all need to be living it 24/7. The question becomes, are we doing that? And then the second question that the church now needs to ask is, what's happening in homes today? Because how can we help you live it in your home if we don't know what's happening in the homes today? And we have there are a lot of surveys out there for how we can do church better. There's a lot of church surveys that can take a look at what you think of your pastor's preaching, what you think of the programs of the church, what you think of men's ministry and women's ministry and children's ministry and youth ministry. But as we continue to evolve as a ministry, I started to take a look, is there a survey out there that actually takes a look at how we're doing where? At home. How are we doing as a church at helping you live your faith at home? And what we found is there was no such survey. And so about 2 years ago, we went to work with Dr. Jeffrey Shears out of North Carolina. God blessed us by bringing him into our kind of ministry, and he offered with our help to design a survey for churches that takes a look at what's happening in home. And it's called the Faith Life Survey. And we got it ready to launch just after the first of the year. And so we sent it out to a few trusted friends to say, would you consider having your church go through this? And Hillcrest was one of the first churches to sign up for this survey. You're one of the first kind of initial 10 churches that we have going through it right now. And we are still in the midst of bringing together your findings. We're not done yet. But I was already scheduled to be here. So I told Brian, who's in charge of the survey work for us, I said, can you at least bring me some initial findings so that when I stand before here in front of you, we have some things for you. So what I'm going to walk you through is what I would say is probably the first third of the material that you are going to be receiving to see what's happening in our homes. And it's already been very helpful for us because what we can do is now really see what we need to dial in to help you. So let's take a look at how Faith at Home is going here at Hillcrest and some of the realities that we face. First of all, when it comes to who took the survey, currently, and again, it was well over 230 people or so that took the survey, which, by the way, was a very good sampling. And so that's a good size that we are looking for. So thank you for those that took part in it. But it was about 63% female, so you guys are better than guys. That's all I'm going to say. Women are better than men at taking this survey, or at least at this point. We might actually reopen the survey and see it, but that was just so far where you're at. Also, what we found is by age. You will see that by these ages here, that the primary age was 46 to 65. The next group was 66 plus. Then the 31 to 45 was 14%. And I'm going to scold those 18 to 30-year-olds, okay? We need a little help from you guys, and you guys can do it on your phones. So we'll give you another chance so that we can add your input into it. But this is something that we started that was so that you can understand who kind of participated in this survey at this point. Let's take a look at some of the findings that were from this. First of all, how often do you attend this church? The first finding was 98% of the people that took this survey, of the over 200 people that took this survey, are attending church weekly. So these are people that are very active in your church, that are the ones that are taking the survey. And by the way, I just want you to know that both Brian and I were a little blown away by that number. I don't think we will find another church out there that will have that high of a percentage, which says something about you. It says that you people value Sunday worship. That is something that is important to you, that is a distinctive, and that is something that is a part of your rhythm. And I want to say, well done, good and faithful servants. Amen? And I hope you see that as something that is a very positive thing. We were very encouraged to see that. I guarantee that probably will not be the case with some other churches. Also from this group that took the survey, how involved are you in other ministries of the church? Or are you in a small group, not including weekly worship? Again, what we are seeing is the group that took this survey is also pretty involved in other ministries of the church. Over 79% of them are involved in some sort of a small group or weekly worship on either a kind of weekly basis or on a monthly basis. So again, let us remember, as we start looking, going deeper into the finding, these are the people that are very active in your church, both on Sunday morning and also in some sort of a small group or some other kind of ministry of the church. How long have you attended this church? Again, for those that took part in this survey, it's people that have been attending here at Hillcrest for at least 4 years, for kind of 4 to 11 plus years. So always keep that in mind, that when we're taking a look at these results, these are the people that are highly involved here on Sunday morning, involved in worship, and have been going here for a while, for at least 4 years. So that group, when that group was asked here at Hillcrest, who do you feel is most responsible to influence a person's spiritual growth? According to you, you feel that mom and dad are the primary influencers of a person's growth in faith. You also believe friends, mentors, and grandparents, as Jack talked about, also play a significant role. And then you also see things like, again, in your language, it would actually be minister here, not pastor, because I understand that in Churches of Christ, it's kind of a different role that you have there. But you were able to see that minister plays a role, extended family plays a role, siblings play a role, Then you get into kind of the youth worker has a role to play. And then here's what's interesting, is that also the children's pastor, or the kind of the children's ministry area. What I want you to realize in this is that you realize that mom and dad are by far the most influential people when it comes to passing on faith to the next generations. You understand that, you embrace that, and that is something that I'm very proud to say for you, that is something that I'm glad we don't have to sell you or try to. There are some people out there that wouldn't see it this way. Some churches, I'm glad to see that you guys see it this way. Friends play an important role. I do want to point out one thing here. I think in time, the number that I would like to see go up here in this church is the role of grandparents. I think you actually score that a little too low. I think we need to start to realize and value that the role that grandparents play is more significant than where you currently see it. And now, a lot of times that's because we live in a culture that is marginalizing grandparents. That is a societal thing that is happening across America. If we were to do this survey in Singapore, trust me, it would be a much different result. They're still the place where grandparents are more highly valued. So I'm not saying that this is a Hillcrest problem. I'm saying this is a cultural reality, that we are seeing grandparents score too low in this as a whole. So I hope that we, and based on today's message, I also hope that you realize we have to start to see that elevate, the role of grandparents as an influence. So moving from that, that's who you think should have. But then when you guys were asked, who in your lives has had the greatest impact on your spiritual growth? Your responses from that, again, based on those who took it, was mom was still, for the majority of you, mom was the one that scored the highest. The second most influential for you is friends. Friends also have had a significant role and very close to as high as what mom is. You've also, for many of you, had mentors. That one intrigued me a little. And that'll be, here's what I look forward to doing, is that give us a little bit of time. It'll probably take us about a year, but when we have enough other churches that have gone through this, I look forward to comparing, seeing where you're at versus other churches. Does that make sense? I think mentors here is probably going to be a little higher than it may be in a lot of other settings. But I think that's a significant one for you. You also see dad as being influential, as having an impact on your spiritual growth. And then extended family members, again, the minister having a role to play, grandparents having a role to play, the youth worker, if you will, having a role to play, siblings, and then now, just understand something. It's not that children's ministry has no role to play. A lot of times, for most that took this survey, it was kind of 40 and older. It's been a long time since they've been in children's ministry. And so you can see that over time, I think if more 18 to 30s, we probably would have seen. And again, also our language there, we're actually going to look in the survey and probably change that language to move, because in youth ministry focuses around a youth minister, a youth director. Whereas in children's ministry, it's a whole children's ministry team. It's not just one person that runs children's ministry. We need to change the language there to call that children's ministry. Has children's ministry, or does that make sense? So we're going to go back to the drawing board there, and so that's probably a little bit on us there. So, but back to it. So you feel mom and dad should be primary, and yet for the majority of you, mom had a little more influence than dad did. You also had influences of parents and mentors that were significant in helping you in your spiritual journey. And then what? Now we started with who has had the most. Now what has also had an impact on your spiritual growth? What are some things that have had an impact on your spiritual growth? Well, not surprisingly, Sunday worship is something that scores the highest for you. And when you're participating in worship at the level that you are, meaning there's 98% of you that are coming weekly, it doesn't surprise me that Sunday worship is one of your highest, that is something that's having an impact on your spiritual growth. But also small groups. And one of the things that Jack brought to my attention was the reality that small groups have not been around in this church for a long time yet. It's just, 3 or 4 years maybe that they've been rolling. But what we are discovering is that they are already playing a significant role in your spiritual growth. So that is obviously, we need to praise God for your small group ministry and what God is doing through that. Also, home life is having a significant impact on your spiritual growth. Boy, what I want to say to you is, well done, good and faithful servants. I think we're very interested to see, in a lot of other churches, I don't think home life is going to show up that high. So that means a lot of you are having spiritual conversations in the home. There is a home life that has Christ in the center of it that's impacting your spiritual growth. So I just want to say to you, that's awesome to see that 50% of you put that down, and that's playing a significant role. I also want to say to you, and he's not paying me to say this, but this church has made a commitment to be a Faith at Home church for a while now. And I think that that is starting to already show up here, that you are seeing that commitment to pushing it into the home, encouraging it to happen to home, constantly championing that we need to be a Faith at Home people in the Faith at Home church, and the work that Jack and his team and this church has committed to saying, you know what, we've got to really make sure it happens at home. That is showing up in your survey, that you are being impacted by what's happening in the home. Because Christ, you are connecting with Christ there. So I just want to really encourage you with that. I have a feeling that that number is going to be significantly lower in most churches, because not many churches have been doing Faith at Home as long as this church has been doing. Does that make sense? So I think you need to be encouraged by that. Other things that we also see that impact you in your spiritual growth are things like reading books or sermons from authors or speakers. Sunday school, which again is a high value here, is having an impact on your spiritual growth. Bible school or college has made an impact on many of you here. You've been impacted by a Bible school or college. Camp or retreats, we start to see things like that, are also impactful. Youth group has had an impact, as has, or some of here, about 11% have been involved in a Christian school. That those are things that have helped you to kind of know, love, and follow Christ and in your spiritual growth. So now, and then also, if we look at the family makeup of kind of those who participated in this survey, what you'll see is about 56% were mom and dads that no longer have residential children. 29% were mom and dad that do have residential children. So the majority of your folks that took this were married couples. Some, the majority were without children at home, and then the others were with children at home. You also have single people that took this survey that don't have any residential children, and then the last group was, you had about 3% that took this survey that were single folks with kids at home. So that just kind of gives you a perspective as who was taking part in this survey. So based on those kind of initial findings, what did we see? So now that you know the demographic group, now that you know the kind of who and the general attitudes and findings, we're going to go down a rabbit hole here. We only, again, have the ability to go down into one of the rabbit holes. You'll see that there end up being a total of 7 primary areas that we are going to go pretty deep in and that you are going to get some deep findings about. Again, we don't have all of that ready for you, but we have one of them. And so let me take you into the one that we kind of pulled out for you. And that one first, we were looking at things like, how is prayer happening in the home? How is Bible reading happening in the home? How is faith talk happening in the home? How is service happening in the home? Worship. We looked at these different things. So let's take a look at the one category of prayer. How is prayer doing at home? Great news for you. Hillcrest is clearly, you are clearly a people of prayer. That is something that is significant. Because take a look. When the question was asked, how often do you pray? What we found is that singles with no children are praying at a high rate, pray multiple times a day, and that's at 83%. When you look at married with no children, still significant, right about 80% are praying multiple times a day, and then if you add once a day to that, it's well over 95, almost 98% that are praying multiple times a day or at least once a day. We also see a high amount of prayer happening with singles with children, single parents with children. And you also see that married with children are also praying at a high rate. So you need to recognize that that is a very good indicator that prayer is significant and is happening in the homes of your people today. And now let's dig a little deeper with it. Let's go into one specific group, the married people with no children at home. Remember, that was your biggest group that took this survey. So marrieds with no children at home. They were asked the question, is praying together as a couple important? Do you think that's important? So again, for marrieds with no children at home, do you think praying together is important? Well, if you look at the numbers there, you will see that 99%, is that what it is, are kind of in that strongly agree or agree category. So pretty much everybody says, yep, we really believe praying together as a couple is important. But then the next question was asked is, how often do you do that though? As a married couple with no children at home, how often do you pray together? Well, 50% say we pray daily. Weekly, well, you add a few more to that. But do you see that you have a significant number there that are not praying together, that are praying together either rarely or are also praying or just occasionally? So what we start to see is the beginning of, oh, this is an area where we can provide some help. In fact, if we go a step further, we then asked you, how could Hillcrest help you for married couples with no kids with prayer? And what we discovered was 26% of you said you would like more help or much more help in the area of praying together as a couple in your homes. So that is something that Hillcrest is going to take a look at and say, how can we help our married couples, marrieds with no kids at home, how can we help you pray at home? Okay, so that is a finding. That's some of the stuff we're looking for. And what I want to say is, thank you for being honest. Because we can't help you if we don't know. So that is something that, all right, we're going to try to help. And I will say that as I presented this to your elders and so forth, I love the conversation we had there. Because even one of the elders says, you know, I know we're supposed to be praying, but praying as couples is tough. And sometimes you just lose time and it's just a tough thing. So that's something we're going to try to provide some help with. Now let's look at the married with children at home. So that was your next largest group. Your largest group was married that took it, were married with no children at home. But now you're married with children at home. What did they think about prayer? Well, again, the majority of them, I mean, just short of, you know, or right around 90% or so, again, strongly agree or strongly agree that, yeah, they should be praying together as a couple. And yet, when you see reality, are they doing it? Once again, we start to see that similar thing arrive where it's less than 50% that are doing it weekly. And so it's another area. And so then when that group was asked, would you like some help with praying together? You've got kids at home with you. Would you like help praying as a couple together? 28% of that group said, yep, we need help. And they didn't say we need help. We need more or much more help in this area. So again, right away out of the chute, you can see married with kids or married without kids, both those groups are saying, man, as couples, we could certainly use help praying together. That's one of the things that we start to find through a faith life survey and kind of the things that we're digging into. Let me take you down. So does that give you a little picture down the prayer path of what's happening with prayer? And it's just one of our things that we're examining. Let's take a look at another finding, some other findings. Now this is married with kids at home again. Back to that group of married with kids at home. They were asked a simple question. What is Hillcrest doing best to help you in your homes? So married, think of them, with kids at home. What is Hillcrest doing best? Well, you see some things like they're helping us with prayer at home. So they're helping us with praying at home with my children. They're providing help to help me engage in faith talk or spiritual conversations with my family. They're helping us engage in personal devotions or Bible reading. They're helping us read or listen to Christian books, articles, or sermons. 85% said they're helping us engage in devotions, Bible reading at home with our children. They're helping us in all these areas, faith talk or spiritual conversations. They're helping us engage mission. So what they're seeing is you're doing a lot to help them. Your marrieds with kids at home are saying you are offering a lot. By the way, that's another very good sign that they are saying you are providing a lot of things for them. But where would they need help? So they're seeing that you are giving them a lot of opportunities and a lot of things that you are providing for them. But the areas where they would still like help, even though you're providing a lot of this stuff, the areas where they need help is they're saying, and what you will see in this one is I want you to look at the top four together. They kind of clump together. The top four are kind of all about service and or missions. They're saying we could certainly use help in knowing how to engage in service in our community or in missions as a family with our children. In the top four were all about help us know how to engage in missions or service as a family. And then the next three after that were all about kind of help us have a spiritual life in our home a little better. Help us turn up the temperature in the area of having Bibles reading as a couple. And a lot of it's on helping them as a couple. So what we are starting to see, beginning to see, is two areas right away that you could start to help in. Is helping your people live on mission as a family, get involved in missions and community service as a family. But the other is helping couples have a stronger spiritual life together. Does that make sense? That a lot of your couples are saying, man, if you could help us have a better prayer life together, help us have ways that we could pray together, read the Bible together, ways that we could have a spiritual life together as a couple. And so obviously as we continue to get more findings in, we're going to continue to see, does that repeat itself? And then you'll see some of the other things that come up after that. But the themes that kind of keep coming up are those two. Help us with service. Help us with, as a couple, engage in kind of our spiritual life a little deeper, at a deeper level together. And now let me give you a few additional findings. Now here's what's going to be fun. I just got these this morning. So, because my guy just keeps sending us, I mean, they're literally working on yours as we speak, and he sent them to us. Jack hasn't even seen them. Well, I don't know if he did. He emailed them to both of us. Your elders haven't seen this yet, so look out, people. Get ready. Which also means I don't have a whole depth of kind of thinking on this, but how many of you want to just see something for the first time? All right, so this is hot off the press. This is like, as it's happening, coming in. Here are a few additional things that they found. And I just kind of told my guy, I kind of like that one graph that shows where everybody's at. So he said, all right, what he sent us was, he's going to have us take a look at how often do Hillcrest people personally read the Bible or participate in some sort of personal devotions. So personal Bible reading or personal devotions. How are we doing at that? Well, for singles with no children at home, 50% do it a few times a week. 21% do it once a day, 29% about once a month is how they're doing in personally reading the Bible or personally participating in some sort of devotion. When it comes to married with no children, that group is 48% is, wow, this is kind of interesting, 48% is a few times a week, 44% once a month, but you see a significant less that are doing it once a day. Wonder what that means. Don't have an answer for you there, but I think that's interesting. That you go from 20%, interesting, so I don't have a thought, just interesting, sorry. Single with children. So now they have kids with them. 60% of them are still reading the Bible or having some sort of personal devotions a few times a week. And if you add once a day to that, that's over 80% are doing it either daily or weekly, with only 20% that are doing it occasionally. So it means that your single people with kids are doing a good job of staying in the Word themselves. I see that as a very positive sign for your single parents that are doing so. If you're a single parent here, well done, good and faithful servants. And married with children. Not surprisingly, I mean, they're busier with children at home. They're once a month are participating in personal devotions. A few times a week, you add 25% of that. Once a day is 13. So I'd say, you know, your top three, you're doing well there. But and then occasionally, there's that. So you still are seeing at least once a month that your people are in the Word But when it comes to, if you wanted it to be at least once a week or more, you would see that as about 38% of your folks are there. So obviously, I think a trend that you're starting to see is it gets harder to find time to be in the Word of God as you have kids at home. I don't think that's unusual, but I do think that that is something that we need to continue to press into. So let's look at, and I know there's a bunch of you that are just dying to ask questions right now. Well, what about this and what about that? Sorry, I'm not letting you. So anyway, feel free. Get ready to ask your questions. I'm going to save some time so that we do that. What about personal devotions or Bible reading with the children? Again, this now is the question now. So we looked at what's happening in the different groups with it, but do you think it's important? Do you think it's important? So we saw what's happening. Single with children, kind of 100% of them agree or strongly agree that personal devotions or Bible readings with our kids is now something that's important, that we need to be doing that with our kids. So single with children realize that, and married with children are also at that same high rate, that we see that they're pretty much right there at that, you know, 96, 9, pretty much all are saying, you know what, yes, we do think that that is something that's important. But is it happening? How often, as a mom or dad, do you read the Bible or participate in personal devotions with your children? What we see is that single with children, 60% say they're rarely doing it. Woo, that shows us something. I think we got an area that we can help single parents with. How many say amen to that? That this points out something. And single parents, thank you for being honest. We now know an area that we need to help you with is that only occasionally, about 80% of you, you feel it's important, but how often are you actually finding time to be able to do this, to engage in Bible reading with your kids in your home, is that it's about 80% of you are struggling with that. So we'd love to help you in that area. When it comes to married with children, I just love how beautiful that chart is. It's going to take me a while to figure it all out. But if you put the two, the purple and the occasionally and rarely never together, you are at 46%. So almost half of your folks are kind of still struggling in that area to find time to do Bible reading with their kids or personal devotions with their kids. And there's some that are doing it weekly and some that are doing it daily. That's kind of your other split. So you're about a 50-50 split there. 50% are probably struggling with it, and 50% are kind of in a camp of doing it on some sort of regular basis. So again, making sure that we're having Bible reading in the home. Now again, they recognize that the church is providing them lots of help to do it. Remember that? So they're thankful. But what that shows me is that for 50% of your people, you're sending a lot of stuff for them to do at home, but what does that mean? What's happening with that stuff that you're sending home? Right now, it's still not using it. It's still not being, it's something they're not able, so there's a little bit of a disconnect there. What you may need to work on is doing a little better of showing them how to use it, helping them know how to find time to use it. It's not that we're not providing stuff, it's that right now what we are providing, for whatever reason, isn't being used by about half of your folks. So that would be an area that I would say, all right, let's try to dial in and maybe start asking them, why is it? Is there something about that's not working? What is it? But that would be an area that I would dig into. See, I love when I have the mic. I can just make whatever comments I want, and you can't. So anyway. And then how often, as a mom and dad, let's go into one other area, do you engage in meaningful faith talk or spiritual conversations with your kids? Deuteronomy 6 says we are called to talk about these things, the ways of God, with our kids when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Faith talk is supposed to be something that we are doing, is happening between parents and kids. That is why, and it's right there in Deuteronomy 6. We're not making this up. This is what God has called us to do. Well, how is that? How often are your moms and dads actually engaging in faith talk with their kids and spiritual conversations? For singles with children, what you will find there is about 40% are doing it weekly. And then if you add the daily to that, which there is no daily. So it looks like for the majority of your folks, fall once, rarely never, is 20%. Occasionally is only 20%. And once a month is around 20%. So it's about a 60-40 split. So it looks like you have room for some improvement in faith conversations and helping them just be able to have dialogue, especially daily conversations with their kids around God and around faith, and or weekly, daily or weekly conversations. So I would say, all right, that's for your single parents. For your married parents, what they are saying is, there's a few more that are doing it weekly there, But again, you see that there's a fair number that are either once a month occasionally or rarely never. But you see a little bit of an increase there with your married with children having the opportunity to have some faith conversations with their kids. So these are some of those initial... Has it got your head spinning yet? Yeah. And that is intentional, is that if you're going to be an intentional Faith at Home church, we have to really have an intentional way that we take a look and examine what is happening, where are we really at, and how can we really improve, and where do we need to work on to get better at. So what else are you going to be receiving? Within the next few weeks, you're going to not get added to this. Imagine you are going to go all the way down. We're going to find out where prayer is at with singles with kids, with parents, with married couples and married couples with kids. You're going to find out everything you need to know about their attitude towards prayer, your behaviors with prayer, and your desires, where you need help, where you would like help. We're going to do the same thing for you with spiritual conversations of what's happening, faith talk in the home. What do you think is important? Are you doing it? And where would you like help? When it comes to personal devotions and Bible reading, what are you doing? What's your attitude towards it? What are you doing? And where do you need help? What about being engaged in missions? We're going to find out where your singles are at, where your parents with kids are at, where your parents with no kids are at. So we're going to find that out for you and help you see that in the area of service and worship, and then finally even listening to kind of sermons and reading Christian books. So now here comes the dangerous part. And I'm going to bring Jack up here. I would like Jack to share for you a couple of thoughts that he has, maybe that based on this survey. And then we're going to open it up to, we've got about 5 minutes for questions. So if you've got a pressing question, get ready to ask it. But Jack, what are some of your thoughts now that you've seen this?
I thought what you were going to say was, let's open it up for questions. I'm going to have Jack come up here.
Yeah, well, I should have done that. All right, that's a good idea. Thanks. How about? Yeah. Wait, what? You're holding something up. I don't know what that... There we go.
You know, that happens at home, too, when I'm trying to get some... Susan goes...
Yes.
Thank you, Mark, for your presentation. What we're going to do with this is we're going to take this and use it as a way to plan the future of what we do in not just in our family ministry, but in all ministries as well. In fact, we have already planned the next Faith at Home weekend, which is going to be in May, centered around marriage and specifically intimacy in marriage. And that's not just talking about sexuality. That's talking about spirituality and how we can help married couples do things more like pray together. How can you do that easier? How can you make time for that? And so the great thing about what they've done is they've given us the ability to look within our church and to say, okay, what are the areas that we need to focus in our preaching, in our classes, in our in the seminars and Faith at Home weekends and things that we do. It gives us the ability to look at that and say, okay, here's the direction we need to go with our church. And so that's what's exciting to me, is it gives us that ability to do that. And so you'll be hearing more and seeing more about opportunities. And some of the things that Mark mentioned was we do provide a lot of things. You just have to take advantage of those things. And so when we have special opportunities like classes and seminars and things, those are the opportunities that you'll have to say, okay, I said I wanted to make it important in my life. Here's a way to help me do that. And so be watching for those opportunities.
Questions. Does someone have a pressing question? We would love to address if there's something that wasn't clear. Now's your chance to kind of fire a question that we could help.
We got
address.
2 minutes for questions. Right, 2 minutes.
Right there. To which our answer is going to be, we don't know. But anyway.
Given the breakdown we saw there in the groupings of the people who were reporting on the survey, are we going to be able to see whether that's a demographic representation of our actual congregation, or are we trying to get an equal representation of each group in the survey?
Yeah, what we've now already discussed was We don't start with what's the demographic of the church. We didn't ask that. But what we did do is after we got these results and these findings in, we said, okay, we need to get more 18 to 30. So we're going to reopen it up. And there's a couple groups that we're going to kind of dial in to say, we know there is a greater representation in this body of 18 to 30-year-olds than what was represented in this survey. So we're going to reopen the survey up for them. We'll probably open up for a week and just really have that group and a couple other of the groups that we thought, okay, let's get a little bit more representation, because that's a nice thing. Your staff was able to tell me, in general, this still, we do have a lot of marrieds with no children, and we do have a lot of marrieds with children. But wait a second, the numbers, we have more of the 18 to 30-year-olds than what was represented, so we'll get that for you. So that's the fun of what we'll do.
And I will say, Mark has provided a new car that we're going to give away for all of the 18 to 30-year-olds.
Absolutely. You get to win a new car if you take that survey. You have a chance to win a new car. That's always the key, right?
Yeah,
you have a chance to win a new car.
That's right.
You never know if that car ever gets given away. But anyway, it'll be Jack's Harley, actually, that we're giving away.
No, that's what we're giving away. one more question?
Yeah. Thank you for that question, though. Thank you for that. That's an important thing. Other questions that you might have?
It's your chance.
And could you just help me with this? How many of you appreciated some of these insights, like seeing this? Was this helpful for you to see? Okay, good. That helps me to know that maybe we're on the right track. Did you have a question over here?
One question. Somebody had a question.
Yeah, fire away. That's awesome. We beat up this group. This poor group is sitting there going, "Why are you picking on us?"
So.
Why do you break it up in those age groups? Why don't we start in an earlier age, like youth group ages, to see what they're thinking about?
Yeah, there is a youth group version of the survey that a youth pastor has developed. That there are a lot of questions in this that if you're below 18, probably wouldn't have applied, because they're living in their parents' home. We were trying to start with when you move out of the house and you start to have a place of your own, whether it be a dorm room, whether it be a college apartment, whatever it may be, from that point forward, what's happening in your home life? Does that make sense? And not tie into when you're still living at your parents' home. But what's happening for teens in their own homes, there's a whole other survey that this one youth pastor created that we're giving to your youth pastors that your teenagers could take to help us find out what's their home life like. Do they have a good relationship with their dad? Do they see their mom as a good influence in their life? Their dad is a good spiritual influence in their life? And is Bible reading happen in their home? Does faith talk happen in their home? So we do have one that we're going to give to your youth pastors that they can just do with the students in your youth group. But it's just a little different than this whole thing. So thank you for that. That's a great question,
because that's an area that needs to be addressed as well.
Correct, because where they're at, that does matter. It's just kind of a different set of questions that we have for that. And thanks for caring about that. That's good stuff.
One more question?
Yeah, back
in the back.
Good, we're going to make Jack walk. I love this. Yeah. Sorry, we're going to have to take the mic to you. I just can't quite hear you. Sorry.
I'll summarize. Go ahead.
All right.
She's talking about a paper form to fill out. We actually had that available here in the office. You could come in and we didn't have a paper form. We had a computer available, and we helped walk people through the process. So is there a paper
I'll give
form
you,
available?
We do. There is. Well, it was the church's decision. They have. You can do it as a paper form. Here's the difficulty of the paper form is somebody then has to manually input all of that. It's not like we have the paper form you can then just send through a scanner that puts it all in. So this church, being as large as it is, didn't put a bunch of paper ones out there, because that probably would have taken an office person many, many hours to input all that data. But for some individuals, it's just easier to take. So to have a few copies of it is a good idea, Jack, to maybe have a few out. You have to have a paper form for, because there's the four groups. Paper form for singles with no kids, singles with kids, parents with no kids, so it is available. They can print it off and do that. So if you think that would be helpful, especially for if you have a subgroup that you're like, man, if we had a paper form, it would be easier for us. Let Jack know and they can print you off which form they need for that.
Thank you. That's a good thought. Good thought. One more. Bless you. Anybody else?
All right. He said you could pass an iPad around during class and just... Take it that way. So
I guarantee you, we've got some iPads in this room. Right, I've seen a few of them around. So
one more question over here, and then I'll wrap it up. Yep.
You know, as you mentioned several times, the language here within the Churches of Christ is different than mm-hmm. some of them there on the survey. Pastor mm-hmm. Versus minister. Yep. And from that, eldership. You know, we rely so much on our eldership as our shepherds. Yep. And some of that language, as I'm answering these questions, I would separate what I would learn or gain from a minister versus what I would learn or gain from a pastor, or as I refer to a pastor, as our elders or our shepherds. Mm-hmm. And so that was somewhat confusing in the survey as I was taking it.
Okay. How do you think?
In other words, as well.
How do you think it would have changed the results?
As I have said many times to different people, why did you choose Hillcrest, which I'm a relatively new member? It was because of the shepherds of this flock. Mm-hmm. And so I had a different relationship with that than some of the ministers.
Sure.
And so, I mean, I could get into details, but just
no,
that.
We'll chat about that later, see if we can get that.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I think part of the confusion was when we see the word pastor, we think elder, not
yep.
minister.
Correct.
So that may have been, I don't know if you came up with the Church of Christ version of the survey or, you know.
Sure, just for anything for you guys.
Absolutely.
But I do want to wrap with this because I know the bell went off and I know you guys are all about your bell. So I've been here before with the magical bell, and which I wish more churches had, because otherwise we pastors run over. Thank you for taking the survey. Thank you for trusting us enough. We're not, prior to this, it's not like we were a research organization that had a 20-year track record of doing surveys. This is our first venture into it. There was no one else doing it. We worked with a professional university to put it together, but there's always going to be a few glitches that we learn along the way. And we are going to continue to adapt it and make it better as we go along. Your input has been invaluable to us. And as we continue to give you the report and further findings, we look forward to continuing this journey with you that's going to make it better and better. And then the fun for me, too, is I can't wait to compare you guys to some of the other churches. I think that's when you are going to get another layer of valuable kind of data, information, where you're going to see some things that I think God is really doing very well here in comparison to some of the others. And so I look forward to sharing that with you. So this is just the beginning. And so thank you for that. And it is also something that I want to keep on your radar. We look forward to you doing this about, again, 2 years from now, because we want to see, has anything changed? We also want to use this as a tool to measure, are we moving the needle at all? Are we making some improvements? Does that make sense? So that we actually know what we're doing. So thank you for that. Let me just have a time of prayer over you, and then we'll let you go. Dear Lord, just thank you for this church. Thank you for the partnership between Faith at Home and Hillcrest. Thank you for the leadership of this church that embraces Faith at Home. And I thank you for this body that believes that we want to be a people that are not just one-hour consumers of church, but we are people that are living in love with you, and that we are living it out in our homes and in our dorm rooms and our apartments, and that we're not just being one-hour Christians at church. Thank you for the positive things we're seeing that are happening in homes, and for the things that are happening in between parents and their kids. And so, Lord, we thank you for what this is revealing to us. We also thank you for the things that we are seeing where there is help needed. Lord, thank you that you're revealing that to us for such a time as this, because we want to help. This is a church that wants to help their body, to help their people go deeper in their walk with you. So Lord, just thank you for everything that we are learning through this. Thank you for what this church is doing and will be continuing to do. And now we commit ourselves to you as we get ready to go back out into our mission field, which is our homes, our neighborhoods, to continue to live our lives for you. So bless everyone here as they do that. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all God's people said, amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for your time.